Hey guys, this is Wolf Hoffman from Accept, and you are on CMS TV.
Chris Aiken Presents, and I, of course, am Chris Aiken, and on the show today, it's always a pleasure to have this guy back because he always kicks ass. It's that simple. The band is Accept. The new album is Humanoid. It is fantastic. It's out on April the 26th. You all need to get it, and here to talk all about it is the man himself, the main man of Accept, Mr. Wolf Hoffman. Wolf, how are you, man?
Good. How are you? How's it going?
It's good, man.
Glad to be here.
It's glad to have you here. Glad to talk once again, man. And glad to have this new album, man. You guys are the workhorses of metal. You just keep churning them out and they keep being great, man. I think that's the best compliment I could probably give you.
Well, we're German robots. What do you expect? Well, at least I am.
Well, Wolf, let's dig into it. You are. You really are a humanoid when it comes to doing this, man. And so let's dig into the record, man. I don't want to say it's different because then that gives the wrong impression to people. I mean, it's very Accept. If you like Accept, you'll love Humanoid. It does have some nuance changes to me, maybe not to you. Maybe I'm reading a little more into it. I found some, especially in your playing, I found a little bit more nuanced playing and not as much just straight raw riffing as you're normally known for. But talk a little bit about it, man. Talk about the writing and talk about your, your vibe of Humanoid as it was coming together.
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to see how people characterize the final result because that's something that is almost hidden to me, because you have to understand, I just write a bunch of stuff as it happens at the time, and I don't put much deep. I mean, I want to write the best songs I can, but overall, there's no concept for an album or when it's all said and done. It just, whatever happened, happened. There was no planning involved, and all of that stuff almost happens without us knowing. So when people say, oh, it's a little more this way or a little more that way, then so that might be the case very well, but it wasn't something that anybody was aware of, because we're basically just trying to write a bunch of cool songs and they then make the album, you know. So it's almost unplannable. And even the same with the playing. I mean, I just try to give what the songs might need, and then at the end result, it is what it is. But I'm not aware of it, really.
Sure. Now, Wolf, how do you come up? How do you know when it's time to make a record? Is there a deadline, or is there a collection of songs and you feel like you have enough, or how do
neither.
You come to the decision? Neither. Okay.
Well, you kind of know it's time to write a new album when you toured the previous one and you feel like the fans are asking for it and, hey, when's the next album coming out? So you know at some point you got to do it. And then you basically, what happens is I tell the guys, all right, guys, it's time to do the homework. Why don't we all go and start writing some ideas? And so that's what we do. Everybody goes home, and then I say, hey, what you got after a few weeks and months? And I do the same. I just go into my studio, and I work for a number of weeks and months and just basically start forcing myself to have ideas. They never fall from the sky. They never right. just happen. I never wake up with a metal song in my head. It's just never happening. Hmm. I just basically have to tell myself, I'm going to start working on songs now. And then I lock myself in and come out a day later, and usually something has happened.
Wolf, you are, I'm going to tell you honestly, I've interviewed thousands of people. You're the first one that says that, that I've ever interviewed. Everybody else has their phone with 10,000 ideas that they come up with at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then they go back through it and
really?
Fill and find
no, never
every
have.
Other guy.
I tell you what I do. I write down as I notice it. When somebody says something that sounds cool, or I see something written anywhere that has a cool word, I think like, ooh, that could be a song title. So I write down little titles. But that's okay. all I do. I never have any musical ideas that I sort of collect along the way. Like today, I don't write any. I mean, I'm just busy doing stuff. I'm interviewing. Right. I'm planning. But I really have to force myself into this sort of writing mode. And then once I'm, it's almost like working out in a way. You know, if you haven't worked out in a long time, you hate it. You know, you go like, right. oh, God, I gotta get to the gym. But then you go a few times in a row and you start feeling, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, you get into the zone. And that's the same for me with songwriting. After a few days, you sort of, the mind loosens up and you get more sensitized. And then I have ideas that sort of just happen. But yeah, but if I don't force myself into that mode, it's just silent.
Wow.
I'm not like Mozart that wakes up with a symphony in their head, you know?
Right. No question, man. Well, Wolf, you know, one thing I just noticed when I was getting ready for the interview, and I was just doing my normal thing, listening to the record, reading the bio, went back to Wiki to make sure I didn't miss anything. I noticed that the lineup has been stable now for about 5 years. And, you know, for
kinda,
you guys,
kinda,
pretty,
yeah,
pretty stable, almost. You know, for you, do you like that, or do you get something out of, and I'm not saying that you're purposely switching musicians in and out, but do you like having a new blood come in every once in a while to kind of revitalize the recording or the band or the sound or any of that stuff?
Not really. I'd rather stay in the lineup that you're familiar with.
Okay.
I mean, if it was up to me, it would still be the same guys that we started with 50 years ago almost. But it's just not, I mean, that life happens, you know, people mm-hmm. come and go, and they sometimes change their mind. They don't want to do it anymore. It's too exhausting, or they want to do a different musical direction or whatever the case might be. And then, yeah, then you have to use, because I see it as my, I mean, I'm in this weird position being the last surviving member of the old lineup.
Right.
But by default, because I just never left the band. Everybody else sooner at some point or another decided to call it quits and do something else. And here I am, the last man standing.
Right.
So I see it as my role to keep that ship running, basically, with new members. But if it was up to me, it would, if I had my wish, it would still be the same guys.
Sure. Is your role the same as when you started? Meaning, were you always kind of the leader, or were you just the guitar player and you became the leader?
A little bit of both. I've always been a driving force, I believe. I've always been slightly more obsessed than the others, and a little more motivated, maybe a little more of this. More of that. I mean, there was a time when there was two or three of us in the band doing that, but sometimes I felt also I was the only guy, or the one who was always the first at rehearsals and the last one to, you know, lock the door,
right.
or the one to come up with. I don't know. It's just no band is ever five same guys. It's always a couple guys that are the driving member. Yeah, the motor of the band.
Mm-hmm.
Every band that I've ever observed or heard of, it's the same. It's never all five, you know.
Right. No,
or
absolutely.
Six, or however it might be.
Sure. Well, Wolf, let's. I will get to the record here in a little bit, but I do have a couple of questions ahead of the record. One is, and this one, and I'll just give you the fan perspective on this. You announced recently that Joel Hoekstra is going to be joining you to do some live gigs. And yeah. Joel's an amazing player. I know that. I think everybody knows that. At the same time, I'll tell you honestly, fans scratched their heads when this announcement was made, because Joel doesn't seem like the dirty street guy that Accept is. You know, he seems white snakey, you know, for lack of a better term. You know, how was it that you came upon asking Joel to join, and what let you know that he would be able to fill the role for you guys, you know, in the live setting?
Well, here's how it happened. Okay, Phil has been, I mean, we played with three guitar players for the last few years, and we mm-hmm. love it, because it really enables us to do a little more things and to open up the spectrum of the sound a little more. Sure. Than if it's just two guitar players. So we really like that, and we wanted to keep that formula, that lineup. But after the last very grueling South American tour, Phil Schaus came to us and said, "Listen, guys, this is too much for me. He had this terrible food poisoning down there while we were traveling, and he had to stay in the hospital for a few days. And man," he said, "basically, I want to leave the band because I've got an amazing offer from another, like a country act that I wanted to tour with."
Okay.
And we said, "Well, damn, we don't want to let you go, man. Right. So why don't we come up with a solution that fits us all?" And then he said, "Well, maybe I can be the permanent special guest. So I can play with you when I'm available. And then when I'm not, you got to find somebody else." So here we are trying to find somebody else. And I asked my good friend, Michael Cardelloni, that I've known for many years. He's the drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Sure.
He was actually an Accept drummer there for in the 90s for a short while. And he suggested Joel. I met with Joel, saw his playing, met him in person, and I thought he's going to do a fantastic job. And I think it's going to be killer. And I think you're only thinking of him for Whitesnake because that's the role he has to play there.
Right.
You know, I don't think, you know, when he is in Accept, he's going to play Accept and it's going to be killer. I know. Right. He's a fantastic player, very, very versatile. And yeah, it might be a bit of a surprise for many people, but I think it's going to be something worth seeing. It's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely. And he'll get plenty of chances to it, as will everybody to see you guys in whichever configuration it is. I do want to talk a little bit about your festival schedule. And I mean, you guys have a full schedule, as is expected from you, but your festival schedule is amazing. Is there any festival you're not playing this summer? I looked at the list. It was like 15 festivals or something. I was like, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. We've actually done more in the past. This year is almost moderate compared to some other years.
Okay.
We've done, because there's so many festivals we could play, but it is a tough schedule. I have to agree. And it's going to be a grueling schedule for the rest of the year, even, because we're going to have headline shows. We're planning a US show tour in between. So I think we have a ton of touring planned for this year, and festivals are always fun for us because it's sort of our little bit of homecoming there, because we are from Germany, the band started there. So this feels very much home for us. And we've played a lot of these festivals before. So I can't wait to do that. But at the same time, festivals are kind of this sort of get in, play your hits, and get out of the way kind of thing. It's
right.
Never really a... It's a little bit... I compare it to sex, you know. I'd say festivals are the quickie, you know.
Right.
The quickie, and then the headline show is the long love making.
Right. Festival is the girlfriend.
Foreplay.
The festival is the girlfriend, and the tour is the wife, right?
Well, however you see that, it could be the other way around, depending on your circumstances.
Very true, man. Well, Wolf, let's do this. Let's take a little break. We'll give people some Accept to listen to right now to Quench Their Power, and we'll come back and we will talk more about the new album Humanoid on April the 26th. But for now, let's go back a couple of years, 2-3 years, and let's play the video for Undertaker. So hang in, folks. This is Accept with Undertaker, and we will be back with Wolf Hoffman right after this. It is Chris Akin Presents. All is grains of sand, and then one day he too shall pass, and as he's dying, death will lie. Right back here on Chris Akin Presents, it is Chris Akin, and we are talking with the great Wolf Hoffman. We are talking the brand new awesome album, Humanoid, which is out on April the 26th. I suggest everybody buy it. Don't just stream it. I'm not saying don't stream it. I'm saying don't just stream it. There's going to be several packages, I'm positive, that you can get this. I'm sure there's going to be vinyls. I'm sure there's going to be CDs, and there's millions of ways to get it. And that's the best way everybody can support you, correct, Wolf, is to actually buy something?
Correct. Absolutely. That's the best. We've been very grateful that a lot of metal fans are very traditional. They really like to have a vinyl copy, or they might have a CD, but a lot of them really want to own the physical copy because, you know, you can't really put a signature on an MP3. So there,
right.
You know.
No, you're absolutely right. And you guys have always gone out of your way to make sure you do the great art and the, you know, nice liner notes. And you guys make it you guys are still, like you said, it's old school. You're still giving people a full package, not just here, you know, just.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a long tradition, and we want to keep that tradition alive. I mean, because there's these people who bought all these records along the way, and they want to have the new version as well. Excuse me.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely
I think it's
right.
Important. Yeah, I think it's beautiful. I like these big, holding these big vinyls in my hand. They're fun. I love them.
Sure, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the record, Wolf. Obviously, you worked with Andy Sneap once again. He's kind of an unofficial guy with you guys now. It seems like his name pops up with you guys often. What is it at this point that he brings that you couldn't do yourself?
He's kind of the, you know, a member of the family. He's the go-to guy to give us that sound that we're looking for, to work with us in the way that we're comfortable. And, you know, we know each other so well over the years. It's really a fantastic way of working. You know, a lot of times when you have worked with somebody for a long time, you don't really have to express a lot of the whys, and you sort of just do it with a blind understanding of, we both understand, everybody understands what we're going for, and we're all on the same page. So it makes life quite easy, or work easy.
Sure. At this point, after working with him for so long, does he still hear things that you don't hear? Does he still say, nah, you should put this note here, or change this, or we should add this fill on the drums, or stuff like that? Or is it more just a guide? Is he more of a guide to get you through the project?
I'd say it shifts over time a little bit. Yeah, he's definitely, I mean, I think we all evolved from when he first started to get, I remember when we first started to work together with Andy, he came from more of a background of thrash and heavier stuff. And we were kind of a almost old school band that was slightly different, because we have songs that are very much melody based, everybody, you know, with, sing-along vocals, and it's a back-end vocals, and we have proper choruses and pre-choruses. And I think he, now that he's working with other bands along those, or more of those bands like Judas Priest and Saxon, and all that, he's more adapt to our style of songwriting. And I think he makes suggestions and hints that that are more suited to us.
Okay.
I mean, the good thing about him, he grew up being an NXT fan. He very much understands what an NXT fan would like because sure. he is one, or he was one. So and I really like the fact that hasn't changed much over the years. You can still see the sparkle in his eyes when we come up with a cool riff or something really pops and we all go like, oh, fuck yeah, that's amazing, you know.
Right.
So that kind of thing. So he's genuine. He's great. I love
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, man. Well, dude, let's get into the tracks. I always start with my favorite track, but before I quite get there, I just wanted to mention just what this is one of the most subtle changes, and I know it's subjective and everybody has a different opinion. What I like best about Humanoid is it's not front-loaded like most Accept records are, meaning that most Accept records, the first five are usually the best five. You know, I think this record is the second half of the record to me is far better. Just all my favorite songs are the back half, you know, and I'll start with my favorite one, which is Mind Games. I love that. It's classic Accept. It has that gallop going to it. Your guitar itself is just really cool. A little bit different than what you're known for, a little less play-y, if there's such a thing, you know, a little more, like I was saying at the beginning, a little more nuanced. But tell me about that song, man, because that is such a great tune.
That's a fantastic example of, like, me not being aware of any of that at the slightest. Okay. I just write a bunch of stuff, and some of it, if anything, it sounded like I wasn't even so sure about that song, to be honest. That was one of the ones where I thought, like, what do you think about that one? And yeah, I think it's pretty good. It's got something, but I wasn't like, oh my God, that's the one. I just thought like, oh, that's another pretty good idea. And you know, it was sort of, it's so hard to predict how stuff will resonate with people. It's almost impossible, you know? Mm-hmm. So and I'm taken by surprise every time where, you know, you think like, that's the one, but everybody else says, no, that's the one.
Right.
And on this album, I've talked to quite a few journalists because it's not out yet. So I don't really get much fan feedback. But a lot of people have some like this, some like that. So it's all over the board. I mean, which that could be good or bad. But what I'm saying is there's not one or two tracks that everybody loves and the rest is just sort of like filler stuff.
Right.
It's pretty diverse.
And I would say it's a deep Accept record. Everything on it is good. There's nothing. Probably the biggest change up on the whole thing is Ravages of Time, which, you know, just because it's slower and, you know, it's ballad-esque, you know, that would probably be the only one that people would probably push back on you for, which, again, I love that. I personally love the change up. I love the fact that it's not 15 songs of just pummeling, you know. I love that, and you guys have done that in the past. It's not new, but it's not common either for you guys.
No, common is, you know, I don't know what, but yeah, we made a ballad. We did a ballad on the last album that was called "The Best Is Yet to Come," and people loved it. It was so well received. We played it live a bunch of times. That when I had the idea for this song, we thought, oh, we should give this a try. It wasn't, again, we never write an album and say we need to have a ballad, so if somebody write a ballad, please. It just sort of happens along the way, and then either you like it or you don't like it, and it turned out great, so we decided to put it on. And I lost my train of thought here. I was going to say something else, but it evaporated, sorry.
Well, it may have evaporated from the next song, Straight Up Jack, which is clearly a drinking song. You know, somebody likes to drink. Who came up with this one? Because it's just a straight up in the bar drinking song.
Take a wild guess. It wasn't me because I'm not the party animal. I don't drink. So it was Mr. Tonillo who came up with that one. That's definitely up his alley because he's basically, that's him right there. It all sums it up. He basically is, give it to me straight, man.
Yeah, but and it's such a fun song. And last track that we'll talk about, let's talk about the title track, you know, and the one that people have heard already. Let's talk about Humanoid. I'm assuming that this is written somewhat based on looking at the world today and AI and all that stuff. What made you decide to tackle what is kind of a scary topic for all of us, and certainly for you guys as musicians? This AI has to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah. I mean, it started very innocently with just writing a song because I liked the word humanoid. And I thought, you know, that sounds cool. Let me write a song. And I sang humanoid, this and that. And it had a few lines that go along with it. And then Mark finished the lyrics. And funny enough, after we've, in the last year, even because it was written 8 or 10 months ago at this point, it became more and more relevant. And now everybody's talking AI. And it looks like we have this grand scheme. We write a song that fits the times. But really, it's a bit of coincidence, too, that it seemed to be current because, yeah, we depend more and more on technology. But really, since we're now talking about all this AI stuff, it takes on another dimension because all of a sudden, robots are no longer just making cars and things. They start to write songs and clone songs and come up with artwork that's scary good.
Right.
Come, you know, they make lyrics and texts and movies. And so that is very concerning for us as artists because I always thought this is strictly a human thing. Only a human with emotions can be creative. Sure. And of course, there's a debate whether AI is truly creative because it's really not, but still, you know.
Right. I would imagine you're safe, you know, except with your long career, you're pretty safe. But can you imagine being a new band today? And, you know, I can't even imagine if you had one or two hits, somebody with AI could just steal your voice or steal your guitar or whatever and create 20 more without you and then not pay you. It's really a scary thought when you think about it.
It is. And the thought becomes immediately, if they take existing songs, like say they take an existing, I don't know, Beatles songs and create a new Beatles song or an Accept song for that matter, like who owns that new song? Because it's clearly based on what you've done in the past, which was created by the songwriters and copywritten and blah, blah, blah. But now that new song, who owns that? You know,
yeah,
it's
a scary, scary time. It definitely is, but
it is. So, yeah, hopefully we're going to be, but it's going to be, I mean, it's already here. As so often, the technology doesn't care whether we keep up with our, you know, rules and laws and all that stuff. Technology is already here. Now we have to figure out what to do with it.
Well, figure 10 years from now, the record company would be close to figuring it out, much like they did with MP3s, right? They won't figure it out till 10, 15 years after it's too late. Well, Wolf, exactly. Well, Wolf, obviously, man, you do have this great new release. It's called Humanoid. It is out on April the 26th. I'm going to say it one more time. People, buy it. Don't just stream
please.
It. Buy it. Buy one song. Buy two songs. If that's all you can afford, buy something. But definitely buy the t-shirt. Then you'll look cool for the next year and a half until the next Accept album comes. Then you'll buy that t-shirt. That's how it works. So, well, Wolf, I figure what we'll do is we'll wrap this one up with the video for Humanoid. It's a cool video, very fun. So one more time, Humanoid, April the 26th. It is Accept. And Wolf, thanks so much for joining me here on Chris Aker Presents.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Always, my friend.
Excellent. My name is Hybrid.